Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 1st, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, lawmakers are opposing a plan to merge CFTC with the SEC. The WTO has ruled in favor of U.S. beef producers. And farm bill conferees have 60, yeah, that's right, count them, 60 Senate-approved tax provisions to deal with. That just to get the body on board with a compromise. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll deal with another governmental body that regulates farmers, US EPA. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May wheat at $8.95, down 34 cents today. July at 9.12.5, down 24.5. And July of next year at 9.08, down 19 cents. May corn futures, $5.84, up 16 and 3 quarters. July at 5.98, 16 higher. September at 5.98.5, up 14. And December corn at $5.93, up 12 for the day. December corn next year at 5.46 for 4.5 cent loss today in the December 2009 contract. May beans, $12.11, up 13 and 3 quarters. July at 12.34, settlement up 19. And the August at 12.24, up 27. November soybeans, $11.47 and a quarter, 57 and 3 quarters cents higher. May bean meal futures at $3.30.50, up $8.20. July at $3.33.50 as well. It's up $8.70 for the day. May bean oil at $52.15, 67 higher. July bean oil at 53.15, that's up 0.95. April live cattle, $87.40, 2.5 cents lower for the day. June futures at $88.12.5. up 37.5 cents on the afternoon. April feeders at $99.12.5, down 17.5. The May futures at $101.35. They're up 12.5 for the afternoon. And the April lean hogs at $56 even, or down $1.07.5. The May at $65.65, down 65. Outside markets for the day. May crude oil futures at $101.10 a barrel, now trading down 48 cents for the day. June futures at $100.65, down 44. The CRB index at 385.08 is 1.81 lower, and the dollar at 72.64 is up 0.84 at the hour. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,639. It's 376 points higher for the day. April gold futures at $882.90 an ounce, down $33.30. And the May futures are down $33.50 at $885.40 an ounce. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Here's what the forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. From our own Mike Sola, he says a wind advisory is in effect for much of northern Indiana through 2 o'clock this afternoon. That one, of course, has already expired just in the last few moments. Today and tonight, he says, clear to partly cloudy skies will be pervasive across most of the two-state region. Lows will range from 22 in northwestern Illinois to 38 in the far southern part of Illinois. Wednesday in western Illinois becoming mostly cloudy, elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy. Highs Wednesday from 46 in the northern part of the state to near 60 in the far south. The highlights look like this, a noon month, but a familiar situation. Too much rain and not enough warmth. Flooding rains will return to the central Mississippi Valley into the Ohio River Valley for the second half of the work week and the start of the weekend. Rainfall totals expected to reach up to 3 inches, with extensive flooding resuming and field work delays, of course, continuing.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're joined on a Tuesday afternoon by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Contract highs again today?
You know, we saw a nice little rebound to turn around Tuesday as such. A little bit of getting rid of the reaction that we saw to the bean report yesterday and turn around and seeing some fun buying rather than strong liquidation today, Todd. So, you know, whether we've found the bottom for the meantime here or not, we at least got a little pause today, that's for sure.
A little pause, and the bean market was up, and that was a good sign after yesterday's losses. The corn market, not surprisingly, up again for the second day in a row after yesterday's USDA reports, both the prospective plantings report and the grain stocks, quarterly grain stocks report, a little bit to the friendly side to the marketplace.
Yeah, I think that both the numbers were smaller than what the trade was expecting. Good demand. We're seeing tremendously good feed usage, or it seems to be good feed usage, Todd. You know, and then, of course, the hog and pig report on Friday telling us 107% all hogs on feed. So, you know, we're seeing the feed demand staying extremely high. We're seeing the Argentine situation where that's backed up and stuff's moving out of or switching from down there to come out of the U.S. because of the demurrage costs and people not wanting to wait with boats down there. And also the news of China securing possibly 2 to 3 cargoes of beans overnight and possibly a cargo of bean oil. And also the idea that when we got down around that 48, 49-cent bean oil, that it could go back into making soy diesel affordable.
And just to recap the numbers from yesterday's USDA report, in case you haven't heard them, which is unlikely, but let's go through them anyway. Corn number at 86 million acres. Trade was expecting an 87.387 million acre number. Soybeans at 74.79, the trade looking for 71.5. And the corn quarterly grain stocks at 6.859 billion was less than the 7 billion the trade was looking for. Soybeans at 1.428 billion on hand right now was more, of course, than the 1.352 billion that was the average trade guess for the soybeans yesterday. I'm wondering whether you think the marketplace, when you look at this from a farmer's perspective, has some opportunities both for corn and soybeans here, of course, on the idea that corn will stay higher or creep higher, given the numbers from yesterday, that producers might put more corn in the ground, and eventually there will be fewer acres of corn or soybeans, and that number will have to start to march higher as well.
Well, I think, number one, I think as we look at this, a lot's going to depend on the weather, Todd. If we can get in the field, get planting, the planters rolling, I think that there's some marginal acres for every farmer, the 200 to 300 acres that they haven't totally decided on. And if they're in the good fertile ground, the higher producing, where they're in the 170-plus corn-type area yield, why it is figuring about $140 an acre more profit on corn right now, so where we're sitting. So, you know, there's a possibility that 1 million acres could shift back to corn out of what we're talking about on those marginal acres if the weather goes so we get the corn in the ground at a decent rate.
That's $140 there around the Crawfordsville in Indiana, right?
That would be, yes.
And Darrell Good tells me that number in the state of Illinois, central part of the state near Springfield, would be something more on the gain of 200 to 250, and that would be profit. And net profit, not a gross profit, actually. So those numbers
well,
would be enticing.
And I think we're going to shade those numbers a little bit because we can't sell the market today on 100% of our bushels.
That's right.
And if we do have to use very high-priced options to protect ourselves, we're going to shade Darrell's numbers a little bit because you can't go up to 100% of our anticipated production levels, and we were trying to stay on the low side rather than the 200 bushel plus. So, you know, Darrell's not wrong. We're just being a little more conservative.
Well, see, I was basing that off a regional difference more than anything else.
No, well, I'm just being a little more conservative,
yeah,
Todd. So, but you know, so that's why we think that there could be some shading back and forth to maybe, you know, a million more acres of corn coming into that. You know, we are a little bit surprised. We know there's been tremendous unwinding of the July-November bean spread today. thought that act overreacted because we still feel that a lot of the beans and the beans that may continue to be switched out of the U.S. That were originally come out of Argentina might make up some of the difference in that number that we're looking at as far as the stocks, which was March 1st, and a lot of that's happened since then. And also the idea that, gosh, who knows what this weather is going to do to us, then we could see a little bit more of a tightening of the bean stocks in the July timeframe.
So tell me how you see weather situations playing out. What if we get to mid-April, and I think that's pretty easy, and we haven't really started planting yet, although most of the time when you look back over time, it's just about the 15th of April when we really start to get the planters rolling. Does that do anything to the market? If we're a week beyond that or 2 weeks beyond that, what happens?
Well, I think, you know, if the weather, we know we're looking at 10 days of wet weather here, Todd, mm-hmm. Basically along the way. We know we're going to be not a lot sooner than the 10th to 15th of April, just on the situation that we're looking at today. Every week that we go beyond that, why, there's going to be some tense feelings by some farmers. There's going to be a little nervousness develop in the market, and we're going to start to put a little more emphasis on weather premium back into it for planning delays. Now, we know that if we're planted to start planting the first week of May, and with the planting with the planters we have now, the size machinery, a lot can go in the ground in a hurry. But there will be some market volatility just because of the weather if it continues wet and cool like we're seeing here now.
Anything that we ought to add before I let you go for the day?
You know, I think it's just a very volatile situation here, Todd, but it does look like, you know, we've maybe hit a little bit of a good solid bumping place and looking at value again now.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm your host, Todd Gleason, inviting you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. This is listener-supported program. And we will be headed into a fund drive by the end of this week. You might want to get a head start and visit willpledge.org. If you like the programming and you'd like to help us stay on the air and continue to deliver this program, you can do that right there. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House and Senate lawmakers say they oppose a Bush administration plan to merge the Commodity Futures Trading Commission with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The White House made the proposal as part of its attempt to clean up the nation's financial regulatory infrastructure after the recent crisis that led to the sell-off of Bear Stearns in a deal involving taxpayer money. Rather than a CFTC-SEC merger, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says, quote, Congress and the capital markets would be better served getting the SEC's regulatory house in order. And Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says a CFTC-SEC merger is, quote, misguided. The World Trade Organization yesterday ruled that the European Union has failed to scientifically justify its ban on imports of hormone-treated beef. But the WTO also ruled the U.S. and Canada broke trade rules when they extended sanctions on EU exports in response to the ban. The EU has banned the use of hormone imports in beef since the mid-1980s. Canada and the U.S. originally challenged the ban in 1997. Yesterday's WTO ruling authorized the U.S. and Canada to impose sanctions of almost $128 million a year on the EU. The EU has 60 days to appeal the ruling. Farm Bill conferees will need to deal with at least 60 Senate-approved tax provisions, ranging from accelerated depreciation for racehorses to special deductions for timber cutting. And Senate lawmakers are digging in their heels, saying the credits will be needed to assure Farm Bill passage. An aide for Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus says the majority of the tax credits have a useful place in the Farm Bill. And Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says he'll support all the tax credits. Meanwhile, Baucus says he's still reviewing the latest Farm Bill funding framework put forth by House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson and Senator Kent Conrad. And the U.S. Department of Labor has granted a 2-week extension of the comment period for the proposed overhaul of the Migrant Farmer Worker Visa Program. The original deadline was yesterday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, and other agricultural programming posted as MP3 files or podcast. You can listen to them anytime you'd like, absolutely free. And speaking of free, there's a really good marketing newsletter there as well. It's posted on the right-hand side of the page, at least the way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter at willag.org. Now up next, US EPA has formalized a way for farmers to have direct input into its decision-making process. I'll have more on the Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Advisory Committee. The U.S. EPA Counselor to the Administrator for Agricultural Policy is from Illinois. He's a veteran of the Farm Bureau in the state and a graduate of the Agricultural College of the Land Grant, the University of Illinois. John Scholl has a vested interest in being passionate about agriculture. To that end, he's been involved in making sure his agency understands his roots. That is why he says it created the Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee.
I think it will strengthen communications. It will create a more open atmosphere between the agency and the industry, which hopefully will build greater awareness and provide better decisions. Over the years, I know there's been a lot of frustration and a lot of contention between agriculture and the agency. The agency started out looking at solving pollution problems, problems that had already been created and having to go out and clean up. That didn't work real well in an agricultural context. And furthermore, folks in agriculture see themselves as environmentalists, as conservationists. So there are a group of people that are out here thinking and trying and working very hard to do the right thing. And then this specter of, being regulated or being told they aren't doing it quite right is a real problem.
John Scholl and the agency are hopeful the advisory committee made up of 30 individuals will strengthen that dialogue and change the communications, putting the focus on stewardship rather than hand-wringing. US EPA established the Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee in October of 2007. Initially, EPA will ask the committee to focus on three issues: the impact of agency agriculture-related programs, policies, and regulations regarding climate change and renewable energy, the identification and development of a comprehensive environmental strategy for livestock operations, and the development of a constructive approach or framework to address areas of common interest between sustainable agriculture and protection of the environment. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On a Tuesday afternoon, time to take a look at the energy sector, and our guest today, From Gromark, Illinois, from Gromark in Bloomington, Illinois, is Harry Cooney. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me a little bit about what you've been watching in the last month since we spoke to you.
Well, the energy complex is in the seasonal time of the year for more of a price rally that normally would occur right out into late April or early May. We've just stalled that rally some here as some speculators have decided to move to the sidelines. There's also been some talk in Washington about trying to limit or regulate some of the large speculators, and so that's chased a few of them out of the arena here in the past week or so, and we topped the crude oil market at around $112 here in the past few weeks, and now we've set it back to about the $100 level. So now the market's trying to decide, do we want to turn around and go back on up in the seasonal rally, or is that enough for the time being in here?
Are the seasonal trends fairly strong in these markets?
Oh, seasonal trends are very strong. Seasonally, it's something like 13 out of 15 years you continue to rally into late April. So we're in a time of the year that would normally see even higher highs in the energy complex right out into that late April and May time period before it goes into a small setback into June and July and then rallies to even higher highs into the fall.
Now, as farmers take a look at this, they probably are a bit concerned about their springtime fuel needs, I would think.
Yeah. Farmers right now, what we're looking at is some of the basis levels here in the Midwest have been a little bit below some of the basis levels in the Gulf Coast at times in the past few weeks. And so that may not allow as much product to move north from the Gulf into the Midwest as what we had hoped. Now, this pattern seems to flop every week or two, so we're keeping a close eye on it. But keeping adequate amounts of fuel on hand here and being ready for spring, because it sure looks like it's going to be a rush and go when things do break, is going to be very important. We think everything will have enough fuel to get through it, but keeping adequate supplies on hand and don't wait for the last minute to get fuels is very important.
What do you make of the Chicago Board of Trade and USDA numbers and their reaction at CBOT on Monday?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, it looks like to me, I came down from the grain floor several years ago, and it obviously looks like they're kind of getting back to more of traditional type of rotations compared to what they used to be. And, of course, we watch that market a great deal because of its tie-in to soybean oil and mixing in with diesel fuel. And of course, that market has tumbled considerably here now. And I guess what's going to be interesting is to see if those markets stay depressed, because if they do, I know we bounced the grains back a little bit today, but if they do stay depressed and the gold all tend to be tied in with the oil market, my guess is that probably even like the metals, they're probably not over with their entire rallies. We just got too far overdone for the time being, and we've set it back a little bit here. Now, this afternoon, another market that's taken off is the stock market here. It sure looks like we have a low in place, and a lot of the negative economic stuff that we hear in the media has already been priced into the stock market, so that's coming back to life. That could be a bullish news story coming up here also in the energy.
Harry, thanks much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with Gromark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us on Tuesdays once a month. The first Tuesday of the month belongs to Harry Cooney to take a look at the biofuels and the energy markets. He's in Bloomington, Illinois at Gromark. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll be back in 2 minutes with a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast.
It's April Fool's Day. Among the great pranks, in 1957, the BBC TV show Panorama showed the Swiss harvesting spaghetti from trees. Evidently, the dreaded spaghetti weevil had been eradicated, making for a bountiful harvest. And in 1998, Burger King ran an ad in USA Today introducing the left-handed Whopper. The condiment stripped out only on the right side. Customers requested not only the new left-handed burgers, but also the old right-handed model as well. On this day in agricultural history in 1582, France adopted the new Gregorian calendar. Prior to that, the new year was celebrated in France on April 1st. In 1875, Sir Francis Galton published the first newspaper weather map in the Times, London, England. In 1893, the first dishwashing machine became an award-winning success at the Columbian Exposition. The model was originally patented by Josephine Cochran, whose company eventually evolved into KitchenAid. In 1911, Seaman Ashiel Knapp died, an American agriculturalist. He began the system which evolved into the U.S. Cooperative Extension Service. He introduced improved methods of farming into Louisiana, spurred the development of rice culture in the Southwest, demonstrated methods for curbing the boll weevil in Texas, and inaugurated a federal program of farm demonstrations throughout the South. And in 1960, Tyros 1, the first weather observation satellite, was launched from Cape Kennedy. It sent the first television pictures back from outer space. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined this afternoon by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
Tell me about the wet weather forecast we can expect here in the Midwest.
Well, you certainly nailed it there. Wet is the way to go. A series of small but very moist and energetic systems will come through about every 2 days, especially bringing the southern areas of the Midwest, the southern Corn Belt, more rain, and I'm afraid that we're going to have some more flooding concerns. This is going to be especially true for central and southern Missouri, far southern Illinois, Indiana, portions of Kentucky and Tennessee, as well as many areas of the southern sections of Ohio. So the Ohio Valley, the lower Mississippi Valley, going to see the brunt of the moisture.
How much moisture are we talking about and over how long a period?
Well, there could be, with this next system coming on in, the next two, there's going to be some areas getting 2 to 4 inches of rain. So that's going to exacerbate some already very wet conditions.
Does that take us through the weekend or further out?
Well, there's the system that's going to hit probably the hardest Thursday night through Friday, then another system that's going to be coming in late Sunday and into Monday.
Boy, farmers would like a little wind, not particularly with the systems, but a little sunshine too. Can you provide that later on in the month?
Well, there's one thing that we do see, and we're not sure this is going to develop yet, but there's going to be an area of low pressure deepening into the Great Basin states and the West Coast towards the middle of next week. Now, if that happens, that will bring in some drier air, some more in the way of sunshine, and some warmer temperatures. But if we're going to see drier weather, it's going to have to be not until the middle to the end of next week. So we've got another 7 or 8 days here where there's going to be 2, possibly 3 chances of heavy moisture.
Parts of the Delta going to dry out so that they can get started?
They will. I think the rain is going to be hitting the areas that are already the wettest. And the Delta, especially the southern areas of the Delta, won't be getting as much rain. They'll get some, but not as much.
How's harvest proceeding in South America?
Well, in Argentina, very well. The weather there, good. Going to stay good, although they're still fighting some shower activity in Brazil.
And then tell me about some of the rest of the growing regions. Maybe we should start with China, please.
China's still going to be pretty active there, especially the central and eastern growing areas. Going to see some stormy and wet weather, although dried out a little bit towards the middle to the end of next week. But soil moisture in many areas of China not looking bad and getting better in some areas.
Wheat in India should be green and growing as temperatures grow come up there.
Yes, and as we take a look at the area down there, they are looking at some shower activity as well. I think the chances of moisture looks better in many areas of India than it has in a while, especially in the short term.
And we are still concerned with wheat. Ukraine raises a pretty good-sized wheat crop. Tell me about it, please.
Well, Europe is going to see some moisture, and that is going to be especially true in the Ukraine. Now, as you get further east into Europe, further east into Russia, going to be a little bit drier, but the Ukraine, most of Central and Eastern Europe, looking at some really good chances of some early spring moisture over the next week to 10 days.
Thanks much for joining us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.